We're holding on Lamed Zion Omud Bey's eight lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about, we were talking, the Mishnah had told us about when Cain killed Hevel, and the Pasuk says, killed Me'achicha, the voice of your brother's blood, in plural, and we said one thing is, because Hashem held Cain responsible for all the future descendants that could have come from Hevel, and then we said also the other reason is because his blood was splattered all over the place. So we learned in that connection a couple of statements by Rabbi Yehuda Breider of Chia, about that. That was the first one, that he beat him up in many places, and the other one about the earth's mouth. So now the Gemara continues with some other statements of Rabbi Yehuda Breider, with another statement of Rabbi Yehuda Breider of Chia, also about the story with Cain and Hevel. So he says, Golus machaperes oven mechze. Golus is a kapara for half of the punishment of an aveira. And we see this because originally, after Cain has killed Hevel, and Hashem tells him that he's never going to have any peace in the world, that he's going to have to wander everywhere. So Cain says, "Well, you see, nava not ba'aretz. I'm going to have to be a wanderer, and I'm going to have to be wandering and moving around everywhere in the world." But afterwards it says, Vayeshev be'eref Noid, it says he settled in the land of Noid, so it mentions Noid, which is the same Shodesh as Nod, but not Na. So we see, in other words, the fact that he went in Golus was Mechaper for half of his punishment. Maharsha points out, though, if the punishment itself was Golus, then how can we say that Hashem had told him that you're going to be wandering all over the world, which is Golus, then how can we say that Golus is Mechaper for half of that? So rather, Maharsha explains that Na meant, Rashi mentions it on the Pasuk, that everywhere where Cain would go, the ground would be shaking and quaking underneath him, so now his Golus was Mechaper for that, and now that didn't happen. He still has to wander around from place to place in Eretz Noid, in the area over there, which is just like the Ori Miklot, but at least the ground's not quaking underneath him. And the Gemara continues, Amr of Yehuda, Golos Mechaperes al Shloisha Dvarim. In fact, Golos is Mechaper on three things. A person, Golos saves a person from having to experience any of three other punishments. Shenema, we find Yirmiyahu telling the Jews in Yerushalayim before the Churban Bayis Rishon, Koyama Hashem Vagama, Hayoshev Ba'ir Azois, anybody who stays in the city, Yomos is going to die during the siege, Bacherev, by the sword of the Goyim, Uva Rav, or by hunger, Uva Dever, or by epidemic. And anybody who goes out with Nafal al Kastim at Sarim Aleichem and goes and surrenders to the Kastim who are besieging you, V'choyav, and he will live V'hoisalay Nafshel Sholo, and his soul will be for him like spoils. In other words, like a person might say in war, "Ooh, look at these spoils, look at this plunder that I won." Here he'll consider his own life to be his plunder that he won. So we see, in other words, that him going into Golos, surrendering to the Kastim, which means he's going to be going into Golos, saves him from Cherev, Ra'av, and Dever. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Golos Mechaper is ala kol. You're telling me that Golos is Mechaper for only half the Avera, or for only three things? It's Mechaper for everything. Shenema, we find another Nevuah of Yirmiyah regarding Yechonia HaMelech. Yechonia was the next to last king of Yehuda, and we find in the Pesukim that he was a Rosha, and Hashem said about him, Koyama Hashem, Kisvu Eso Isha Ze'ariri, write down that this man is going to be childless, Geber Lo Yitzlach B'yomov, a man who's never going to be successful in his lifetime. There's never going to be a successful person from his descendants who sits on the throne of David. In other words, he's never going to have any descendants who are going to be kings, or who will ever again rule over Yehuda. So that was Yechonia when he was still king in Yerushalayim. He was only king for a couple of months, but during that time is when Yirmiyah said this nevuah. O boss of the Golah, meanwhile, after Yechonia went into Golos, Ksiv, then you have in Divrei Yomim, Uvnei Yechonia Asir B'noi Shaltiel B'noi. Actually, the way the Pasuk says is just Uvnei Yechonia Asir Shaltiel B'noi. The Pasuk says the sons of Yechonia Asir, his son Shaltiel. So we see that he had a son, Shaltiel. Not like Yirmiyah had said that he's going to be childless. Here the Gemara is just saying it's a result of his Golos. There's actually a Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, Rashi refers to it soon, that says that actually it was a matter of that he did Tshuva. So we would say maybe that it's both. He needs to do Tshuva, but the Golos was part of that as well. Now, what's this name, Asir Shaltiel? On the face of it, you would say it means he had a son Asir who had a son named Shaltiel. But the Gemara is doubting it differently. Asir is called She'ibratu Imer B'Veis HaAsurim. His mother became pregnant with him in the jail. So Rashi brings the story from Vayikra Rabbah that Yechoniah was in jail, and when Nebuchadnezzar captured him and took him to Babel, he was in jail for many years, and at one point there, they lowered his wife down to him into the jail, and he had relations with her over there. The Medrash actually tells a lot of interesting detail about it. They had to convince Nebuchadnezzar, first they had to get through to Nebuchadnezzar to convince him to allow it in the first place. They got through to Nebuchadnezzar through his wife. Akitzur, they lowered down Yechoniah's wife to him so he could have relations with her, but then the Medrash says she came down there and she found out that she was a nida, and as we learned yesterday, even the Rekonim Shabbacha, even the emptiest yid, still has a respect for the dinim of the Torah. So he could have not been that. He could have been a Rasha and had relations with her anyway. He didn't. He stayed away from her. So eventually, after she became Tahar, they sent her down again, and this time they had relations, and she became pregnant. And from her came, as the Gemara is going to say, Zerubbabel, who was the leader of the Jewish people at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash, and eventually from him comes Mashiach, actually. So, but all of that was a result of Yechoniah's tshuva, and we're saying over here in the Gemara the fact that he went in Golos. So Asir is called Shi Brati Ima Beis Asurin. The son is called Asir because his mother became pregnant with him in the jail. Shaltiel, he's called Shaltiel, Shoshle Kael, Shaloi Kederach Hanish Solin. Hashem implanted him, Shaltiel, Shoshle Kael, not like the way most babies are implanted. Gmiri, because we know as a fact, she'ena isha masaberet ma'umar, a woman doesn't or generally doesn't become pregnant standing. Vihinis abra ma'umar, she did, because the jail, the pit that Yechoniah was in was so small there was no room in there to lie down. So there was no room for two people at least to lie down. So they had to have relations, Yechoniah and his wife, standing up, and still Hashem made that she became pregnant. So therefore the baby was called Shaltiel. One of the names of the baby, then we're saying, was Shaltiel in token of that. Gabar Acha, another explanation, he's called Shaltiel Shenishal al Olose Kael, because it represents that Hashem, so to speak, asked and was Matur Neder for his oath. Hashem had, we just said that Yirmiyahu had said a Nevuah, that Hashem says that Yechoniah is going to be childless and unsuccessful and everything, and here Hashem overrode that, so we can say, so to speak, that Hashem was matur that shvua and that curse against Yechoniah, and allowed him to have children anyway as a result of his tshuva. So Rashi points out in the Pesukim over there, you have it, actually mentions a lashon of shvuah. Chai oni num Hashem. Hashem says, as I live, that I want nothing to do with Yechoniah. And he, Hashem, so to speak, it was matur neder that. One point is, when a person does tshuva, he becomes like a new person. So therefore, in that sense, that's what we mean. What do we mean? Hashem is matur neder. Hashem doesn't change his mind. But the person is now a different person, in effect. So therefore, the shvuah that Hashem said regarding him no longer applies because it's a different person. Anyway, so that's another name, so that's another reason we're saying why the baby was named Shaltiel. He's also called Zerubbabel. And that is Shenizra B'Bavel, to represent that he was seeded, that he was planted in Bavel, that he was conceived in Bavel. Now, in the simple meaning of the words in the Pasuk, Zerubbabel is actually a descendant of Yechoniah. He was the son of Pedoyah, who was the son of Shaltiel. But the Gemara is taking it. Now, the Gemara is taking it as if Zerubbabel himself is that baby who was born over there, who was conceived over there. Umashmoy, and what's his real name? Nechemya ben Chachalya Shmoy. His real name is Nechemya ben Chachalya. He's the Nechemya of Sefer Nechemya. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out about that, and the Yad Ramah points out that on the face of it we see that Nehemiah and Zerubbabel are different people, but the Gemara often does that. The Gemara often identifies different people as the same person. One explanation is there might have been two Nehemiahs. So we see, therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, that Yechoniah's golos caused all of that and caused everything to be transformed for him. Okay. Something else regarding Malchus Beis David, and also involving Yehuda and Chizkiah, the sons of Reb Chiya. Before, we had a couple of statements by this Reb Yehuda, the son of Reb Chizkiah, and now one of them also his brother, Reb Yehuda, the son of Reb Chiya, rather, and one of them on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, his brother Chizkiah had pointed out a seeming issue with it. So now the Gemara tells another story involving those two, which also has to do with the continuation of Malchus Beis David. The Gemara tells Yehuda v'Chizki Abnei Rav Chiya have a Yasvi b'Sudas Akami Rebbe. These two sons of Rav Chiya, Yehuda and Chizkiya, were once sitting at a Suda in front of Rebbe. V'lo have a Kami v'lo Midi. They weren't saying anything. They weren't saying any Divrei Torah. Omelahu, so Rebbe says to his Mesharsim, to the members of his household, Ad Baruch Hamra Adarki, increase, strengthen the amount of wine that you're giving to the young men, Kiheche Delemu Milsa, that way they'll say something, because when they drink, then their inhibitions will be lowered right now. They're afraid to speak up in front of the Nasi or something, so let's give them some wine, and that will loosen their tongues so that they can say, Divrei Torah. Kivin, so sure enough they did, Kivin to Ivsum, when the two of them, Yehuda and Chizkiya, had drunk a bit, Poschu v'omru, they started saying the following Dvar Torah. Ein ben David ba, Mashiach won't come, ad sheyichlu shnei botei avos miYisrael, until two major families, two prominent families from the Jewish people will disappear. Their power would disappear. The Reish Golosa in Bavel, who was the governor of the Jews over there, and the Nasi, which includes Rebbe and his family, in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'hoyo l'mikdash, he will be a mikdash. Now, in context, the Pasuk is talking about Hashem will be the mikdash for the Jewish people, but here they're davishing that it means it's talking about Mashiach, that he will be the mikdash, he will be the holy one of the Jewish people who will come to take us out of Golus. Evan Negev, and he'll be a stumbling block for the so Rashi explains it means in other words he'll get us quickly out of Golos, which right now Golos is like knocking our feet where we keep on stumbling and falling in Golos. So now he's going to take that away. Ulatsum Michshol and a rock over which we trip. So the same kind of thing, in other words, Evan Negev and Ulatsum Michshol are two ways of expressing what Golos is. That we're constantly stumbling and falling in it. So he's going to remove that. L'shnei bote Yisrael, regarding the two families of Yisrael. So we're understanding, in other words, that what we're saying is Mashiach is going to be the mikdash. He's going to be the holy one who takes us out of Golos. But on the other hand, he's going to remove those stumbling blocks, those stones of Golos over which we're tripping. But the point is, for the shnei bote Yisrael, it's not going to be such a good thing because their power is going to have to disappear in order for all this to happen. Omer lahem, so Rebbe says, Bonai, my sons, Kotzim, not my sons, literally, the Rav Chiya's sons, but in other words, my Talmidim, Kotzim atam atimli be'enai, you're putting thorns in my eyes. You're telling me that I'm the Nasi and my family's power is going to have to disappear before Mashiach comes. So Rav Chiya says to Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, al yera b'einecha, don't feel bad about it. Yayin nitin b'shivim osias, v'soid nitin b'shivim osias. The word for wine, yayin, has a gematria of 70, and soid also has a gematria of 70. Nichnas yayin yotza soid. When wine goes in, secrets come out. So in other words, now they set a secret. So what they were saying is something that's very true. Api Torah, you're talking, Rebbe, as though like they just made it up in order to hurt you and in order to harass you. No, they're actually saying something which is true, Alpi Torah, just they were inhibited until now, until they had some wine. Malchus explains at some length over here that this represents the idea. We Malchus based David is compared to the moon. That's why by Kiddush Levana we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. We're saying the same way the moon has to disappear completely in order for it to reappear, and we find a Gemara actually where Rebbe has Rav Chiya go to be Makadosh the Chodesh, and he tells him, send me a message, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, to tell me that you did it. So therefore, so we're saying that yes, the Nesios is going to have to disappear, and the Reish Golosaship is going to have to disappear, just like the moon does, but then it's going to start regrowing, and Malchus based David will regrow. So Rav Chiya is telling Rebbe that now don't feel bad. Nichnas Yain Yotza Soid. Now they're telling us something about the Soid Ha'ibur, about the secret of how it works when we're Makadish a new month, that there's a future for Malchus based David, but only after they disappear completely. The Gemara continues. Another thing, going back to Yechonia and going back to the Golos at the end of the first Vesi Mikdash. Omer of Chista Omer Ma'okva, Va'amila Omer of Chista Dorash Mori Barmar. My Dichtiv, what does it mean? The Pasuk, Daniel says this in his Tefillah. He's davening to Hashem to end Golas Bavel. He says, Vayishkod Hashem al ha-ra. Hashem was quick about the evil. Vayivieha olein, when he brought it on us by the Churban. Ki tzadik Hashem alekeinu, because Hashem, our God, is righteous. What do you mean? Meshum le tzadik Hashem, Vayishkod Hashem al ha-ra, Vayivieha olein. How do those two things fit together? Hashem is a tzadik, therefore he made the evil come on us quickly. So in the aim, yes. Tzedakah also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yisrael, Hashem did a great tzedakah with the Jewish people, shehikdim golos Tzidkiyahu, that he moved up the golos of Tzidkiyahu, v'oy golos Yechoniah kayemes. When the people who had gone into golos with Yechoniah only 11 years earlier were still around. After Yechoniah was taken into Golos, Nebuchadnezzar appointed Tzidkiyahu, who was an uncle of Yechoniah, as the next king. He was the last king during the time of the first Beis Mikdash. With Yechoniah, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the great Talmid Chachamim of that generation went into Golos with him. So they set up an infrastructure of Torah in Babel. Now, a few years later, when the Golos of Tzidkiyahu, the rest of the Jews who would remain behind in Yerushalayim, and in Eretz Yisrael, when they came there, they found those Talmid Chachamim from 11 years earlier were still alive and flourishing, and therefore they're able to learn Torah from them, and therefore Jewish life is very solidly established in Bavel. So that was the tzedakah that Hashem did by making sure that those two Golosim were only 11 years apart. Now we find when it comes to Yechoniah's Golos, who went with him in Golos, the pasuk says Achorash v'Hamasker Elef. The Chorash and the Masker numbered 1,000. Now in the simple sense, Chorash means craftsman and Masker means locksmiths. But the Gemara doesn't want to understand that. It just means that. Because for one thing, the pasuk also calls them giburim oisim ochama, mighty men or mighty warriors, and usually people like that, people like locksmiths and carpenters like that are not necessarily great soldiers. So the Gemara understands that what it means is they're called chorosh. Once they would open up and start speaking, everybody else becomes like chershin, becomes like deaf or mute. In other words, a chorosh, we're darshaning as if it's at a chersh, because there's such great chachamim that when they're speaking in Torah, nobody else dares to speak up, because they know how great these Talmid Chachamim are relative to them. So like they have nothing to add. Masker, and they're called masker, which literally means a locksmith, kivin shesugin b'halacha, once they close up something in halacha, meaning if somebody asks them something in halacha, and they don't know the answer, shuvain poischin, nobody else opens it, because there's nobody else who's greater than them in Torah to be able to answer a question if they can't. So that's why they're called that's why these people are called Achorash v'Hamasker, v'Kama, and how many of them are, were they, as the Pasuk says, Elef, there were 1,000 of them. Which one point is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, there's a Gemara in Gittin that also has this piece of Gemara is also in Gittin. Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains that the Pasuk itself says 1,000. Why did the Gemara have to ask it? Because otherwise you would have thought, and in fact there's a Medrash that says as much. It means there were 1,000 Masker and 1,000 Chorosh. So therefore the Gemara wants to tell us over here that no, it means there were 1,000 of them altogether. There's a different pasuk that implies that there were 10,000. There's different explanations in that, including that there were different levels of Talmid Chachamim. The very greatest of them were 1,000, and then in addition, there were another several thousand lesser degree Talmid Chachamim. Those Chachamim, by the way, included Mordechai, when we say in the Megillah, Asher Hoglo Mirushalayim, Imagoyla, Imichonia, Melech Yehuda, he was one of them. Daniel, Hanani, Mishal, Vazariah were among them. There were great Chachamim among them. But now we're saying, Hashem then did a special tzedakah, that when the next wave of Golos came after the Churban Bayis tradition, it was only 11 years later, and therefore these Talmid Chachamim were still active and were still leading the people in Bavel. So that's one explanation, what we mean by Hashem was a tzaddik and he brought the punishment quickly. Ula says another meaning, shehikdim shtei shonim l'vinei shantem, means that Hashem brought the Golos 2 years before v'nei shantem. The word v'nei shantem is gematria 852. Meaning, the Pasuk says in Parshas Vaschanan, we read it also on the morning of Tisha B'Av, The pasuk says, "Ki solad bonim uvnei vonim." You can have children and descendants in Eretz Yisrael. V'nei shantem baretz, and you're going to become old in the land, and then you're going to end up worshiping Avodah Zarah, and you're going to have to go in Golos. The word v'nei shantem is gematria 852, which hints that Hashem is saying, after 852 years, if this keeps up, then Hashem's patience is going to be over, and you're going to be going into Golos. But instead, Hashem brought the Golos 850 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. If you calculate the amount of time, it was 480 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim until the first Beis Hamikdash was built. 40 of those, they were in the desert. So 440 from when they came into Eretz Yisrael until the first Beis Hamikdash was built, and the first Beis Hamikdash stood for 410 years. So that's 850 altogether. And the point of that is, if it had been the full 852 years, then it would have been, as the pasuk says, ki oved tevedun maher, ki shamed tishamedun, you'll be completely lost and you'll be completely destroyed, Rahman al-Aslan. So instead, Hashem moved it up 2 years so that their sa'ah, so that their measure of Avedus is not full, and therefore they weren't completely destroyed, and there was a remnant of Jewish people. So that was the tzedakah, that Hashem didn't wait until the measure was completely filled up. The Gemara says, by the way, Amar of Acha Bayakov, Shmamina, Mehera, Demore Alma, you see from this, when Hashem says Mehera, quickly, and Hashem's timetable, Tamni Mea, Bechamshin, Vatarkin Havu, it can be as much as 852 years. Because we see the Pasuk says, Ki Oved Tevedun Maher, you're going to quickly be lost, and we see that Hashem would have been willing to wait 852 years, and in the end, it was 850 years. So you see that Hashem's timetable is much longer than ours. Tosfos actually in that Gemara in Gittin points out that, wait a minute, they didn't necessarily start worshipping Avodah Zarah the moment they came into Eretz Yisrael. Why are we saying the clock starts then? And one point is that, yes, they had Pesel Micha with them already right when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, yes, the clock started ticking already then. Next, the Mishnah had said, Lafichach, although the Mishnah had said that we warn the Edim and we tell them, we warn the Edim by Dinin Nefashis, and we tell them, don't take this lightly, don't say it's only one person. You have to realize every person is an Olam Mala, and we say that that's why Hashem created man alone. Now the Mishnah had given a couple of reasons why indeed Hashem created man alone. We said, first of all, that stresses the point that one single yid's life is an entire world. But we said also there's a couple of other things. We said this way also, people don't say to one another, my ancestors are greater than yours. And also that minim don't think that there are many gods, that each one created a different person. And it also shows us the greatness of Hashem, that even though we all descend from Adam, we all look different. So now the Gemara expands on that. Tana Rabbanan, Adam Yechidi Nivra. Man was created alone. Now, we talked about yesterday, there's two meanings in that. First of all, it means unlike the other animals that were created male and female at the same time, here Hashem created Adam and then created Chava out of him. But there's also the point that the other animals, at least some of them, there may have been multiple copies of each one created in the first place. Hashem, when he was first creating, created many lions, maybe many oxen, many whatever, whereas with Adam there's only the one. With Neima, so why is that? So first of all, Shaloyu Aminim Umim Habir Shuris Vashamayim, so that Minim, who believe in many gods, don't think that there are in fact many powers in Shamayim, and each one created a different person. Dover Acham, Mpnei Tzadikim, Mpnei Rishoyim. Another point is because of Tzadikim and the Rishoyim. Meaning, Shaloyu at Tzadikim Umim, we don't want Tzadikim to be saying, Onu B'nei Tzadik, you know what, we don't have to work so hard on staying away from Averis. We're descended from the original Tzadik, so therefore we're not going to be Nichshol on Averis, and we don't have to be so careful to stay away from Averis. Meanwhile, the Rishoyim are going to be saying, listen, we're the sons of a Rosha, we're descended from the original Rosha anyhow, so forget it, we're never going to be able to do tshuva, we may as well live it up. So this way, we're all descended from the same person, from the same couple, from Adam and Chava, and that way people don't think this way. Another point, Dover Acham of Namishfachas. Another point is because of friction between families. Shaloyu Mishfachas Misgoris Zubazu. So you don't have families that are having friction with one another, each one trying to say, look how much greater and more miyuchas I am from you. And consider, after all, the Braisa says, Uma Achshav, Madach now, Shenivra Yochid, that man was created alone, Misgaris, and you still have families that are trying to pride themselves over one another, my Yichus is greater than yours, Nivru Shnaim, Alachs Kamavakama, how much worse it would be if to begin with they had been created as two or more people. So like this, at least, there still is that argument, but ultimately, such arguments can be ended by saying, you know what, listen, we all descend from Adam and Chava in the end. Davar Acha, another point, another reason why Hashem created only one man to begin with is because of robbers and chamsanim. Robbers are, they take the land without paying for it. Chamsanim is they force the person to sell the land to them. Now they're going to say to someone, you know what, we deserve this land because it belonged to our original ancestor. So like this, again, we can answer them, listen, you know what, ultimately this land did not belong to your ancestor any more than it did to mine, because we all descend from Adam. And again, the Uma Achsha of Madach now, Shenivri Yechidi, where man was created alone, goes in the Chomsin, and still that doesn't help so much, and people do steal, and people do extort land. Nivru Shnaim, if to begin with, Hashem had created two, Allah has Kama Vakama, how much worse it would be, so therefore at least this mitigates it. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Ulahagid Gdulasei Chulu, the Mishnah had said, another point is, that Hashem created Adam alone to tell us the greatness of Hashem. Cholo, that we said that the person stamps out many coins with one die, and they all look alike. Meanwhile, all of us are stamped with the die of Adam Rishon. We all descend from him. We all have his genetics, and yet every person looks different. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. Again, Lahagid Gedola, Seshon Malach Macha, Emacha Makadosh Baruch Hu. This highlights the greatness of Hashem. Sh'odim Teveya Kamamat Beyas V'choysim Echad. Because when it comes to stamping out coins, a person stamps a lot of them with one die. V'cholim Dremen Zelazan, they all look alike. Avalakadosh Baruch Hu, Teveya Kalodim V'choysim Eshal Adam Merishin. Hashem stamps every person with the die of Adam Merishin. And yet not one person looks like another. And here we are. Now thus far was exactly what it said in the Mishnah. But the Braisa adds a pasuk from which we derive that concept. Shenemar, as it says, Tishapech kechoim echoisam, you turn over like clay the choisam, the stamp, the yisyatzvu kamoi lavush, and they stand up like with clothing. So one point is, in other words, it refers to tchias amesim, it refers to what happens with a person's body after he passes away, that it turns back to earth. What we see, in other words, that the image, the visage of a person, the appearance of a person, is described in the pasuk as a choisam. So we see that a person is described as a choisam, and the pasuk is saying that choisam then is going to be transformed, and the person is going to come alive again. Is going to come alive again by tchias amesim. And then they come up, they stand up again dressed, because by Tchias HaMesim, a person comes dressed in clothing. That's according to Rashi. Maharsha says that also what it means is, within the distinction between Adam and his descendant, Tishapach Kachoyim HaChoysam, here you have the stamp of Adam, and yet it gets transformed and becomes different in every individual person. The comparison to Choymer, like we have in Yom Kippur Davin, in Kehinah Kachoymer V'yada Yotzer. Sasha, it's all under Hashem's control. continues the Braisa. Why indeed did Hashem not make that people's faces look alike? Which the Iyun Yaakov, Anein Yaakov, points out. In other words, the point of the question is, here we're saying the greatness of Hashem, that even though we all come from Adam, we look different. Hashem could have just as well done it the other way around. There should be, to begin with, many different Adams, and all of us look the same, and that would also highlight the greatness of Hashem. But there's a few reasons. So a person doesn't see a nice house, or a nice woman, a nice wife, v'yoma shalihi, and say she's mine. And if you can't tell people apart, then nobody's going to be able to contradict him. But like this, when everybody looks different, then he's not going to be able to get away with that. Not all the Gersois have the word dira nov, and you a nice house. Binyan Shlomo points out that the two things go together. You might have a woman who has a dira nov, who has a nice house, and a person is falsely going to claim she's his wife, and therefore I'm going to take over the dira as well. So by people looking different, then that prevents that. Shenemar, as we find a pasuk that expresses that idea, v'yimona me'rishoyim oram, there was withheld from the rishoyim their light. Their light, Rashi says, means, in other words, the appearance of their face, the brightness of their face, that the different people look different. Uzroya roma tishaver, and thus the high-handed arm, that the power is broken, that he's not going to be able to save, because not everybody has the same not everybody has the same appearance of their face. Therefore, that prevents the Rishayim from being able to take power like that and saying then and saying that this house or this property or this woman is mine. The Gemara continues, Tanya, we learn in a braisa. In fact, there are three ways in which every person is different than every other one. Bekoil, they have different voices. Bemara, they look different. Over das, and in thoughts. No two people think alike. Why is that? Bekoil of Amara mishum erva. The fact that they're different in voice and in appearance helps avoid issues of erva. Because like this, you don't want a married woman is not going to recognize her husband and is going to confuse him with somebody else. So by day she'd be able to see when it's light she'd be able to see him, and then she can see you're not my husband, you don't look like him. By night she'd be able to recognize him when it's dark, she'd be able to recognize him by his voice. So that prevents people from going and sneaking around and being mizana with other people's wives. Over das, and what's the greatness of the fact that each person has different das, gazlonim v'chamsonim. That helps save people from gazlonim and from chamsonim, from robbers and extortionists. Because if everybody knows what the other person is thinking, then, for example, he'd know where he hid his money. But like this, because everybody thinks differently, therefore every person is going to have their own particular idea where to hide their money, for example, and therefore, so one person is not so easily able to find and then steal it or extort it from the other. Okay. Now that since we're talking about the creation of Adam, so the Gemara digresses a bit to talk about more about the creation of Adam, about when it took place. Tana Rabbanan, Adam nivra be'erev Shabbos, man was created on Erev Shabbos on Friday, umifnei ma, why davka on Friday? So again, a few reasons. Shalo yu aminim oimrim, the first reason is so that the minim don't say, shutav hoyo lo la'kadosh boch of ma'isa b'reishis, Hashem had a partner in creating the world. So in other words, exactly like that. Here we're saying that the person more than any other nivra has seichel, and minim would claim that if Adam was created on an earlier day, you know what? Then Hashem had to partner with Adam in creating that day's creations. Like this, Adam was created at the end, and that way they can't think that. Dover acha, another reason, shin tazruach daike olav, if a person starts getting proud and thinking that he's more than he should be, oimer loy, we tell him, yatush kodmach maise bereshis. Even a gnat or a mosquito, whatever, yatush is some kind of little bug like that, even that came ahead of you in maise bereshis, because that was created on Thursday, along with all the other bugs and insects, and you were created on Friday. And Marshall also adds the point that, after all, we find that the Yatosh is sometimes used to punish people when necessary. Famously, for example, we have Titus, where Yatosh crawled into his brain and ate his brain from the inside. So therefore, we tell a person that this Yatosh, this lowly creature, is even ahead of you. There's places in Chassidus where it talks about, the Gemara mentions in some places, that a Yatosh machnis ve'ene motzi. It takes in, it sucks blood, but it doesn't give out. It doesn't even produce waste, or at least not anything that's detectable. So therefore, it represents the ultimate in selfishness. It's taking, it won't even give its waste back to the world, and we're still saying that a person who doesn't act properly, even then the Yatosh is greater than him. Another point, the reason why Adam was created on Friday, Kadesh Yikonis, the mitzvah miyad, so he goes right away into doing a mitzvah. Very shortly after that is going to be Shabbos, and he'll be able, the first thing he can accomplish is that mitzvah of Shabbos. Another reason, Kadesh Yikonis, the Suda miyad. Another reason is so he can come right away into the Suda. The world is made for a person to use to make a did of a tachtonim. It's set like a banquet for him. So therefore, so he's able right away to go into the banquet. Everything's already ready. Moshe l'malach boss of Adam. It's like a human king. Shabona paltirin. He built a palace for Shichlalon, and he completed it. The Hiskin Suda. And then he prepared a banquet. Only then does he invite in the guests. The same way, first Hashem created the whole world and had everything ready, then he created Adam and invited him in as the guest. Shenemar, as we actually find a pasuk that describes the creation of the world in terms of setting up a banquet. The pasuk says, Chochmois Vonsa Besa, wisdom has built her house, representing the wisdom of Torah with which Hashem created the world, Apayim Shana, Yeshtako Baraiso Varahama, Chotzva Amudeha Shiva, she's carved out her seven pillars. After we quote the psukim, the Gemara is going to explain phrase by phrase some of these things. She's carved out her seven pillars, Tovcha tivcha, she's shechted and prepared the meat, maschayena and mixed her wine, af orcha shochana, and also set the table, shochanare seha sikra, she sends her young women and they call, meaning in other words they're to call the guests in, al gape mirone kores, on the gape of the heights of the city. We'll explain soon what the word gape, well, Rashi explains that gape means the high places. We'll talk about soon that Tosafos has a different understanding of it. Anyway, let's explain the pasuk phrase by these psukim phrase by phrase. Chochmas bonsa besa zumi dosa shalach kadosh baruch hu, that it says that wisdom created the world, that refers to the midah of Hashem. Shabaras kol olam kolay v'chochma, Hashem created the entire world with chochma. Chochma is the first of the spheres. It even when it says with the very first words of the Torah, Bereishis bara elokim, there's a Targum Yerushalmi over there, not the regular Targum Onkelos, but a different one that translates Bereishis as v'chochmasa. With chochma, Hashem created the world. And then it's the first of the spheres. We say also in Asher Yotzeh, Asher Bar Asher Yotzeh, also Adam Chachma. When the pasuk continues, Chotzva Mudeha Shiva, she carved out her seven pillars. Elo Shiva Simei Bereishis, that refers to the 7 days of creation. Now, Tosfos points out that actually there were only 6 days on which Hashem created. But the Medrash mentions that the world was lacking Menucha, the world was lacking the concept of rest, and Shabbos came Bos Shabbos Bos Menucha. Therefore, we can say that Hashem, so to speak, did create something on the seventh day, not a tangible thing like the rest of the days, but that intangible concept of Menucha. So that's the seven. So the seven pillars represent the Shiva, the 7 days of creation. The pasuk continues, Tovcha tivcha moschayena. She's prepared her meat and her wine, af orcha shulchana, and set up her table. Elu yamunaharis b'chot soche olam. That refers to the rivers. That refers to the seas and the rivers and all the other necessities of the world. We're highlighting particularly the rivers and the lakes and things like that. Maharsha points out because those contain water, which is much more essential than everything else. Then the pasuk continues. Shochanari seha sikra. She sends her young ladies or her young people, and she calls ze odem b'chava. That refers to odem and chava. That now they're being sent for and invited to the party. They're called Narei Seha. Maharsha points out, we find that they were created as young, healthy man and woman. And the pasuk continues, Al gape miroime kores, on the gape of the heights of the city. So what does that mean? Rabba Babachana Rami. Now, Rabba Babachana pointed out you have a contradiction in the Pesukim over there. Ksiv Al-Gape, that pasuk that we just quoted, says that Hashem is bringing them Al-Gape to the heights. Uksiv, but then a few psukim later, instead you have Al-Kise. You have a similar pasuk. A few psukim later, which says the expression that which says the Yoshval Fesach Besa. A later pasuk says she sits at the door of her house. Al-Kise Miroi Mekores, on the chair at the heights of the city. Now, in the simple meaning, it's not a problem. One part of that parak is talking about Chochma calling for her guests, and the other one later on in the psukim, it's talking about Eishes Psyus, the foolish woman who is calling people to do Averis. But Rabbi Babachana is going to give us a different explanation. So what's Agape and Al-Kise? But Tchila Agape Olosoyf Al-Kise. First they were agape on the heights, all was soif, but after the chete tzadas, then they're downgraded, and then they're only al-kise, they're only on a chair. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos points out that there's a gemara elsewhere that implies that being on the kise is actually better. So rather, Tosfos explains, gape can also mean alone and solitary, like you find by an Eved Ivri, in begapa yove begapa yetze. When he comes in solitary, unmarried, then he leaves his 6 years of service also unmarried, because even during the 6 years he can't have a shifcha knanis. So therefore, so Tosfos says the other way around. The pasuk is saying, first Adam was al-gape, he was solitary and alone without chava. Later on, he's al-kise, later on he has chava, and now he's sitting comfortably on a chair. Anyway, the point is that we see from those psukim that the creation of the world and bringing Adam and Chava into it is described metaphorically in terms of setting up a banquet and inviting the guests. Now, the next pasuk continues back in Mishlei over there. The announcement is, Mi fesi yosur hena, who is the fool who will turn aside here, chasar lev omraloi, the person lacking in heart, she speaks to him. Simple meaning is something like that now. The chokhmah of Torah is calling to people. The Torah is available to you to come and learn it. Don't be a fool. Come, you're lacking in intelligence. You're lacking in seichel. Come learn Torah. But now, the Gemara is dashing differently. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is saying regarding Adam, meet Soilazer, who convinced him to turn aside and to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Isha Omraloi, that was the woman, his Chava, who told him. Dichtiv, and we find the word Chasar Lev in that connection. Noyef Isha Chasar Lev, a man who commits adultery with a woman, is lacking in heart. So Rashi explains that the point is, the Gemara is doubting that Chasar Lev refers to the woman herself. Meaning, in other words, we parse the Pasuk. The Pasuk is saying, Mi Fesi, who was the fool, Yosur Hena, who turned aside here and did wrong, is because Chasar Lev, the woman who's Chasar Lev, Omraloi told him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's how Rashi explains. Marsha doesn't like that explanation and explains differently. It's, for one thing, it means that we're calling Chava herself Chasar Lev, and then there's other problems with it as well. It means, in other words, that so it means that that Chava is speaking to Adam and convincing him to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and that marked him as a Chasar Lev. That marked him like the Noyef who follows a woman inappropriately, the same way Adam followed Chava inappropriately and ate from the Eitz Hadas. Okay. Next, the Gemara continues. Tanya Hoyer of Meir Omer. There's other explanations as well. The Yad Ramah gives the Yad Ramah gives an explanation that it means that Hashem is saying, it is more like the pshat of the pasuk. Hashem is saying, who is the pesi in the chasar lev? Please come and learn from my Torah, rather than remaining a fool. And then we're saying that no, Adam didn't listen, and therefore he was marked as a pesi and a chasar lev because he didn't listen to Hashem. The Gemara continues. Tanya, Hoyer of Meir Omer, Adam Arishin Mikol HaOlam Kulei Hutzvar Afarei. When Hashem created Adam, Hashem gathered the dust for him from all over the world. Shenema, as we find a pasuk in Kapitol Kuf Lamed Tes of Tilim, is even though it's attributed to David, Lam Tzeach David Mizmer, but the Gemara is going to bring several psukim of it that refer to Adam Arishin. The understanding of Chazal is that Adam composed the original version of that capital, and then David rewrote it and included it in Sefer Tilden. So the pasuk says, "Golmi roe necha." The pasuk says, "Hashem, Adam says on himself, Hashem, your eyes saw my unformed form." In other words, a golem, like you have a golem, a mass that hasn't yet been formed into a proper shape. So your eyes saw that, Hashem. Ochtiv, and we find a pasuk here, Hashem ain't a meshotzdes. B'chol ha'aretz, Hashem's eyes are looking around and searching around throughout the whole world. So therefore, when we speak of eyes of Hashem. It's in parenthesis over here because Rashi actually brings us a different pasuk. Ene Hashem and Gilyon Hashas also. Ene Hashem heima meshoitetim b'chol ha'aretz. Whatever. The point is, we have different psukim that refer to Hashem's eyes roving all over the world. So when Adam says Gomi roe necha, it expresses the idea that Hashem, whose eyes are roving and looking all over the world, that Hashem took dirt from everywhere in the world to create Adam. And one point of it is the Medrash says this way, where it actually brings another pasuk, this way, wherever a person is, wherever a person dies, the earth is willing to receive the body for burial. If man had been created from only one place in the world, then B'derech HaTeva, he'd only be able to be buried in that one place. So Adam was created from everywhere. So now let's be more specific. Amar of Oshia Meshmei Derab, Adam Rishin, Gufay Mbavel. The body of Adam was created from the earth of Bavel. And Rashi explains, we find that Bavel is very low-lying compared to the countries around it. That's why, because so to speak, so much dirt was scooped out of it that it became low-lying. The Rosh Hashem Eretz Yisrael, his head is from Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the highest and most important of all countries. Ve'ivara Meshara Rotzes, and the limbs, the arms and legs of Adam come from all the other countries, from all the other lands. One point about that is that symbolizes the idea that the goof of Torah Shabbat Peh, as we learn it, comes from Bavel, where the Torah Shabbat Peh, as we have it, mostly comes from the Talmud Bavli, which was composed in Bavel, and then on the other hand, and the head, the primary thing of it, the original genesis of it, is from Eretz Yisrael. And they brought up the rest of all the development of Torah after that is Mishara Rotzes from other countries. The Gemara says, Agvoisav, what about part of Adam's body is his buttocks, his backside? Where does that come from? Amar Rav Acha, Me'akra D'Agma. It comes from a place in Bava called Akra D'Agma, which is even deeper, more low-lying than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. You think about the buttocks in a person, they're very meaty and fleshy. So that, so to speak, a lot more dirt had to be taken in order to create them. So corresponding to that is why Akra D'Agma is deeper, is more depressed in elevation. It's deeper below sea level than any place else in Bavel. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yochanan bar Chanina, Shteim Rav Yosi bar Chanina says on the side. Shemester Shois Havei Ayoim. Rabbi Choy, Rabbi Chanan, actually, they're different Jewish stories, whatever. Anyway, Shemester Shois Havei Ayoim, the day that Adam was created lasted 12 hours of daylight. What happened on each hour of that day? During the first hour of the day, Hashem gathered together the dirt to make the dust to make Adam. Shnia Nasa Golem, in the second hour, Hashem made him into an unformed mass, meaning, in other words, there's a pile of earth over there mixed with water. Rashi on the pasuk compares it to like when you make dough, you have to mix the flour with water, but at this point it's unshaped yet, it hasn't been shaped into the form of a body. That kind of thing is called golem. Shlishis nimzachu evarav, during the third hour, Hashem stretched out and delineated Adam's limbs. And the point of all this is, one point is, it shows, unlike all the other animals, Hashem just said, the animal should come, this kind of animal should come forth, and it came forth, and that's it. No further ado with Adam. Hashem is showing how important it is that every detail of him is important, and Hashem is, so to speak, going to spend an entire hour on that. Marsha also points out that could even be the animals may have even been created by night, whereas Adam was saying was created by day, and the Gemara is taking the trouble to tell us hour by hour how it was done. So Shlishis Nimzachoy Varav, during the third hour his limbs were delineated. Revius Nizrika by Neshama, during the fourth hour Hashem put a Neshama into him. Vayipach Bap of Nishmas Chaim. Chamishis Amad Araglav, the fifth hour Adam first stood on his feet. Shishis Korashemus, during the sixth hour he called names, he gave all the animals names, as we find in the Psukim. Shvius, then he realized, as the pasuk says, Adam like Motza Ezu Kenegdo, none of them are a suitable mate for him. Shvius Nizdavga like Chava, so in the seventh hour Chava was brought to him, and he married her. Shminis, in the eighth hour, Ololamita Shnayim V'yodu Abba, two went into the bed, Adam and Chava went to have their relations for the first time, and four came out. This is before the Chet Etzadas, there wasn't pregnancy and birth, didn't take that long, so therefore on the same day, they have relations on the same day, very shortly after that, then they have their children. The children in this case, the two children are Cain and his twin sister. Tosfos points out Hevel was conceived and born only later on. In particular, actually, there's Midrashim that say that Cain was conceived before the Chet Etzadas, and therefore he was affected by it, which is why he became what he became, as opposed to Hevel was conceived and born only after Adam and Chava had done Shuvah. So that was in the eighth hour. Then that's taking place. Now you have to realize, by the way, Marsha points out, in the Psukim you find first the whole story of the Chet Etzadas, and only after that, in Perek Dalet, that's in Perek Gimel of Bereishis, then in Perek Dalet, it starts talking about the birth, about the conception and birth of Cain and Hevel. So that would seem that that they were conceived only after that. But one point is, because the pasuk says, Va'odam Yoda, when the Torah wants to tell us things in sequential order, it would be with a Vav Yod, like Vayomer and whatever. So here, if it said Vayeda Adam, it would be after that, Adam knew Chava and had relations with her. Since it says Va'odam Yoda, it means, Rashi mentions on the pasuk as well, that Adam had already known, had already had relations with Chava, and now she gave birth to Cain. So he was actually born. So he and his twin sister were actually born before the Chet Etzadas. Next, Shias Nitzava. During the ninth hour of that day, Adam was commanded, Shalo Lechol Min Ilan, not to eat from the Etzadas. Asiris Sorach, during the tenth hour, he disobeyed and did bad. and did eat from the Eitz HaDaas. Achas Esrei Nidon, in the 11th hour of that day, he was judged for it and punished. Shteim Esrei Nitran V'Holach Loi, in the 12th hour, at the end of the day, he was kicked out of Gan Eden. He and Chava were kicked out of Gan Eden and had to leave. Shenemar, as we see in the Pasuk, Odom Bikor Bal Yolin, man does not stay overnight in greatness, in honor. So we see, in other words, that on the same day, he didn't even manage to stay one night in Gan Eden, and already he's thrown out of there. At one point it's said, it's brought famously in Sfarim, that the Eitz HaDaas, he was supposed to wait 3 hours. If he had waited, he was saying, Hashem commanded him during the 9th hour of the day not to eat from it. If he had held back for 3 hours, then it would have been Shabbos, and he would have been able to eat at the Heter. There's even an idea that Rebbe brings in a Sicha someplace, that according to, there's different opinions, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, what the fruit of the Eitz HaDaas was. One opinion is that it was grapes. So there's another that Rebbe brings an idea, that had he waited and not eaten from it, then he would have used those grapes to use for wine for Kiddush for that very first Shabbos, and that would have been it. The world would have had its tikkun, and there never would have had to be all of the things that happen after that, of all the things that we have to do to accomplish, to make it to do Avodas Habirurim, and to do, and then to make a Din of Tachtonim. The Din of Tachtonim would have already been created then. There's a medrash, by the way, that has an expression on it, that we have to wait 3 years to eat from an orla tree. So the medrash says, imagine if somebody could, if only we could take the dust off Adam's eyes and bring him back to life and show him, look, you couldn't even wait 3 hours to eat from the Eitz HaDaas, and your descendants, the Jewish people, wait 3 years to eat from a tree that they put an effort to plant. All right, having mentioned this pasuk, Odom Bikor Bal Yolin, the Gemara brings another, at the end of that pasuk goes, Nimshok HaBahemus Nidmu, so the Gemara doubtens that half of the pasuk. Omer Rami Bahama, Ein Chayarosh, a letus for Adam, a wild animal is never able to dominate and to kill or harm a person, LMK Nidmaloika Bahema, unless the person appears to the animal like another animal. Shanema, Nimshok HaBahemus Nidmu, as the pasuk continues, he's compared and likens to the animals. So, meaning, in other words, that when the animals are able to overpower him, it means that he himself is like a behemoth. The Zohar mentions in that connection, for example, when Daniel was in the lion's den, the reason the lions didn't attack him is because he wasn't like that. They saw that he has a tzelem elokim on him, and therefore they had a natural fear of him and they stayed away. Okay. The Gemara says, Shah b'soif Rami Simon. We have a Simon for three statements that the Gemara is going to bring, that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say in the name of Rav regarding Adam HaRishon. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, b'shah shabikash HaKadosh Baruch Hu livras as Adam, when Hashem was starting to create man, when Hashem was planning to create man, barakat achas shamalachei asharis. First, Hashem created a group of malachei asharis, so to speak, to consult with them. The pasuk says, nasa Adam, let us make man, and one of the points of it, the Gemara mentions later that the minim claimed from that there was more than one God, Rahman al-Aslan, but the real reason is, one of the reasons is, because Hashem wanted to show his humility, so to speak, that even Hashem, who is Kol Yochel, is going to consult with others. So now he creates Malach HaSharis to consult with them. Omer Lahem, he asks them, Ritzoincham Nasa Adam Ritzalmeinu, do you agree that we should make man in our image? Well, it means that a person is made in Hashem's image is a whole matter in itself. It means that a person has a neshama. It means that a person has the same complement of moichin and midas that Hashem has, so to speak, etc., etc. Anyway, Omer Lefanav, the Malach HaSharis said, Ribbonish Lelam, Ma Maisav, well, tell us what kind of things are these people that you're planning to create going to do. Omer Lahen, Hashem tells them, Kacha Kach Maisav, they're going to act like such and such. Not necessarily always the right way. Omer Lefanav, these Malachim say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, as the pasuk says, Mo Enish Kisis Kiranu, what is frail man? Enish is like the lowest name for a person. What is weak man that you should remember him? Oven Adam and the son of man, humanity, Kisis Kiranu, that you should pay any attention to them. So don't bother. Don't bother. People are going to be sinning and acting wrongly. Why should you bother? Hashem put his little finger between those malachim and burnt them. In other words, Hashem, so to speak, overrode them and said, you know what, you yourselves don't deserve to exist, and my little finger, so to speak, can have you all burnt up. Maharsha explains that the little finger over here represents Midas HaChesed, that the Malachim are arguing, and we find the Medrash expands more on this. The Medrash explains that the Malachim of Emes were saying man shouldn't be created because he's full of Sheker. The Malachim of Chesed are saying man should be created because he does Chesed, and they're going back and forth between them. So we're saying Hashem used the Midah of Chesed to override these Malachim who don't want man to be created. And Chassidus, it talks about the idea that the little finger of Hashem represents a Gilui Elokus that's so powerful, even the least level, the tiniest sphere of Gilui Elokus is enough to overpower Malachim who are on a far lower level. Anyway, V'chein Shnia, the same thing happened with a second group that Hashem, so to speak, consulted with. Katshlishis, then it came to a third group of Malachim, Omri Lefonav, they said, Hashem, Rebbeinu Shloim, Rishonim, Sh'omri Lefonecha, Mahailu. Listen, you had those first two groups of Malachim, and you were consulting with them, and they presented their arguments against creating man. Mahailu, what good did they do? The whole world belongs to you, Hashem. So whatever you want to do in your world, go ahead and do it. We're not going to protest because we realize that you have it. You're bent on this plan of creating man, and therefore whatever arguments we bring to bear against it aren't going to make a difference anyhow. Once later on, and it came to the people of the Dura Mabel and Dura Floga, who were out and out Yeshoyim, and they acted very corruptly. Omru lefanav, the Malachim said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, lo yofa omru rishonim lefanecha. Didn't the original groups of Malachim have a very valid point? They said correctly that you shouldn't create man, and you see, it seems to be a mistake. But Hashem says, no. As the Pasuk says, Vad zikna anihu, even to old age, I am still the same one. Vad seva, and even to the white hair, ani espoil, I will bear the goyim, I'll bear them, I'll manage with them. So in other words, as much as a person might be sinning his entire life, Vad zikna and Vad seva, Hashem is saying, I'm willing to tolerate him, and I'm willing to continue bearing him. And then, in other words, don't think it was a mistake. I have my plans. It's true. A person might live his entire life in Sheker and everything. But Hashem is saying that I'm willing to tolerate it. Marashol also explains that it means that Hashem is saying until Matan Torah. Until Matan Torah, I'm willing to bear the world and I'm willing to bear your complaints. You're saying, why did I bother? You're going to see by Matan Torah there was a very good reason for it. Even by Matan Torah, as we know, the Malachim were complaining and saying that the Torah should stay in Shemayim. So now we're saying that Hashem is saying, until then, you can continue complaining. I'll listen to those complaints and not respond, but you'll see by Matan Torah that what I plan for mankind to be created actually has a valid purpose. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Odomerishin size extended from one end of the world to the other. Which means, in other words, Rashi elsewhere explains, it means if Odom were to lay down, his body would actually extend from one end of the world to the other. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, think back, Moshe says, to the day that Hashem created man on earth, and from one end of the heaven to the other. So that implies that Adam extends from one end to the other. The Gemara is picturing the world as though it's flat, but it's not. But nevertheless, the Gemara is picturing it in that way, as if like Adam is extending, his body is extending from one end of the world, one end where the sky touches the earth, all the way to the other end. Given to Sorach, then when he acted wrongly, when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he niyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yodei Olav, then Hashem, so to speak, placed his hand on him, umiyatoy, and made him smaller. Shenemar, as the Apostle says, Ocher Vakedem Sartoni, you created me Ocher beforehand, Vakedem and Ocher afterwards, Vakedem and beforehand, Vakedem means beforehand, Vatosha, so like Kapecha, and you placed your hand on me. This is another Apostle from Kapitel Kuflamentes, which we said before, Kapitel Kuflamentes is the Kapitel that Adam composed. The original version of it. So he says that you placed your hand on me. In other words, that was saying, so to speak, Adam was created twice. First, he was created as this tremendously great creature, and then afterwards, Hashem, so to speak, put his hand on him and made him smaller. We learned back in Baba Basra that Adam, after the Chet Hadas, was 100 amas tall. So he was still very, very great, but not anywhere near what he was before. Rashi also mentions over here, Ocher v'kedem also means, doesn't just mean beforehand and afterwards. It also means, Rashi over here explains, it refers to the fact that Adam was created as a forward and backward facing creature, Adam and Chava joined together back to back, and then Hashem separated him. But in Chagiga, this Gemara is also in Chagiga, Rashi explains it means, like we just said, that it means that there were, so to speak, two creations, first of Adam as such a great creature who goes from one end of the world to the other, and then as much smaller as only 100. The Maharal gives a symbolic explanation of it. Originally, Adam included with him the entire Bria. Now, after that, he's 100, which represents the 10 Midas times 10, so he's still very, very great. He still has a certain much greater shleimus than everybody else, but nevertheless not to compare with what he was before. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar gives a similar drasha. Adam Rishon mina oretz ad l'rakia haya. Adam Rishon extended from the earth all the way up to heaven. Shenema, as the pasuk says, mina yovash abara elakim Adam ala oretz. The same pasuk that we just quoted. From the day that Hashem created man on earth, ol mekseh shemayim ad mekseh shemayim, from the end of the heaven to the end of the heaven. So al ha'oretz, ol mekseh shemayim, implied that he was standing on earth and reaching up to the end of heaven. Reaching up to the edge of heaven. Kibin Shasarach, then when he sinned, then Hashem placed his hand on him and shrank him in size. Shenema, the same pasuk, Ochav Akedem Sartani, that you created me afterwards and beforehand. Two different creations. Well, the Gemara asks, Koshu Kro Yahadodi, these two psukim that we quoted seem to contradict one another. The two limudim, it's the same pasuk, but one here of Yehuda Amarav is saying that Adam's length before the Chatei Tadas was from one end of the world to the other, and Rabbi Lazar is saying it's from earth to heaven. The answer is Aidi Vaidi, Chodamidi, it's the same distance as there is from one end of the world to the other, the same distance there is from the earth to the heaven. Again, all of this has symbolic meanings, the Maharal deals with this a great deal in a Sefer Be'er Agoila, explaining these kinds of Gemaras in various symbolic ways. In the Maharal's times, there was a Yid by the name of Rabbi Azariah Min HaAdomim who had written a Sefer called arguing that about many such things that the Chachamim don't necessarily understand the science behind the way the world is. Here, for example, they're picturing the earth is flat when we know it's round. This book was called Ma'ur Einayim. So the Maharal wrote an entire Sefer called Be'er Agoila to argue against and refute the arguments of this Rabbi Azariah Min HaAdomim. Him, and he makes the point that a lot of these Gemaras are meant symbolically. So it means, for example, again, Adam incorporated within him everything that there is in the world, and he's Gashmiistic, and he extends all the way up to the Ruchmiistic spheres. So we don't necessarily mean literally that the world is flat and has a certain size from one end to the other, or that there's a certain distance, a certain measurable distance from the earth to the heavens, but it's meant symbolically to tell us about the greatness of Adam compared to what he was afterwards. The Gemara, so that was, we had the simon Sha'a B'Soif Arami. So Sha'a was B'Sha'a Shadikash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem, at the time when Hashem was create Adam Rishon, B'Soif referred to this part that we just said about that Adam went M'Soif Ha'olam Ad Soif. So now comes the third one, Arami, which refers to the Aramaic language. Adam Rishon B'Loshan Arami Sipper. Adam Rishon knew how to speak Aramaic. Now Rashi on the Psukim mentions that the world was created with Lashon from a Medrash, that the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh, but was saying that Adam in addition knew Aramaic and spoke in it. Shenema, here's another Pasuk from Kapitel Kuf Lamed Tes, which again is the Kapitel that refers to the creation of Adam. He says the expression, V'li ma yokru re'echo keil, to me, how yokru are your friends or your thoughts, Hashem. The word yokru, so in other words, we're saying how great and how precious are Hashem's thoughts regarding how he created the world. The word yokru is Aramaic. In Hebrew, the equivalent would be nichbedu. So the fact that he uses this expression yokru, yokur is the Aramaic equivalent of covered in Lashon Kodesh, so it means that he's speaking in Aramaic. This also fits with what Rish Lakish says. The pasuk says, "Zes Sefer Tolus Adam." This is the book of the generations of the history of man. So, what book? This teaches us that Hashem actually showed Adam a book that contains in it all the each generation, and it's each generation, and it's Dersha of the ones who are going to Darsh in the Torah, Dersha of Chacham of every generation, and it's Chachamim. So Hashem was showing him throughout all of history, every generation, and the leaders of the, and the people who are going to be leading that generation in the right way. When he reached in this book, in this accounting, the generation of Rabbi Akiva, Somach b'Torase, Adam was very happy about the Torah that Rabbi Akiva taught in the world, but he was saddened about the death that Rabbi Akiva experienced, that he was killed and taught, that he was tortured and killed by the Romans. Omar, and then he said this pasuk, V'lima yokru re'echa keo, how weighty, again, how honorable and how weighty are your thoughts, Hashem, that your thoughts are much weightier and greater than any human being could ever imagine. In other words, that we can't understand why Hashem did it this way, and we just have to accept that Hashem knows what He's doing. Now, what does this have to do with the previous part about the Lashon Arami Sefer? So Marsha refers over here to what he explains on in Bava Basra. He explains, the Malachim were saying before, were complaining and saying, why are you creating man in the first place? And then later on by Matan Torah, they're complaining, why are you giving the Torah to mankind? It belongs up here in Shemayim. Rabbi Akiva had the covered Torah. He had the full, in his times, he demonstrated the full covered of the Torah in the world. And therefore, so now when he was killed, when he passed away, then the covered of the Torah was removed from the world. So Adam is saying, I'm not the pasuk. V'lima yokru re'echa keil, how honorable, what a covered are your thoughts, Hashem. But he uses the word yokru rather than nichbedu in order that the malachim, as we know from other gemaras, don't understand Aramaic. This way they won't have an excuse to say, look, see, we were right after all. So therefore, so use the expression yokru, the Aramaic expression yokru, so that the malachim wouldn't understand what he meant. But that's what he means. In other words, that he was saying it in reference to Rabbi Akiva, to what Rabbi Akiva accomplished, and to how he was killed by the Romans. In fact, Marsha says that we quoted the pasuk before, Adam bikor v'lo yovin. Man is in yikor and he doesn't understand. It's from the capital mem test. So what it means is, we doubt in it, Adam bikor. He used the word yikor, yokru re'echakel, v'lo yovin, in order that they, the malachim, won't understand what he's saying. So the Gemara continues. V'omer of Yehuda Amar Rav, Adam Arishin min hayo. Adam Arishin was a min, meaning that he had a tendency towards Avodah Zarah. Shenema, which would be fine, Rasa the Chet Etadas, Vayikra, Hashem Alekim Ala Adam, Vayyem Alei Ayekah. Hashem calls to him, to Adam, and he says, where are you? What does that mean, where are you? On Nata Libcha, where has your heart inclined to? Your heart has turned away from Hashem, and you've gone, and you are now having thoughts of minus, that you're acting as though Hashem doesn't exclusively run the world. Now, what does that mean? How could we say that Adam was a min? Rabbi Hananel says it doesn't actually mean that Adam was a min. It means the minim try to use Adam as an example. They try to say, you know what, look, Adam was a min, so you see that there's good reason for us to be minim as well. So therefore, so according to that, then the Gemara is mentioning this point, not to say that Adam actually was a min, but rather to say this is the kind of argument that the minim use. Be aware that we should be able to refute them, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, how we have to know how to refute the apikorsim. There are Mephoshim who explain that no, it means, in other words, that when he was a min, means that when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, then yeah, he acted in a way of minus, he acted as though that there's more than one power in the world, as though Hashem is not the exclusive power, but then he did Shuvah, of course. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Moshech Ba'or Laseh Haya. Adam pulled the skin of his Orla to make it look like he doesn't have a bris milah. Again, that could mean that not that he actually did that, but that the Moshchim or Lossim are claiming that he did that in order to say that that they have a right to do that also. Or again, the explanation would be that it means Adam was created with a bris, he was created circumcised because he was created perfect, but now as a result of the Chet Eitz Hadas, the skin grew over there. So in other words, by him eating from the Eitz Hadas is tantamount to him covering up his Orla deliberately. And we know that because we have a pasuk, the Hema Ka'odam of Rubris. The Navi says to the Jewish people, they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. What covenant? The pasuk says it's Brisi Hefar, referring to a person who's Moshech Bar Olasa, who tries to cover up and conceal his Bris Mila. The pasuk says on him, he's broken my Bris. So we see that Odom is described as breaking the bris, which means that he covered up his milah. Rav Nachman Omer, Rav Nachman says, Kofa b'ikr hoya. Rav Nachman says that Odom Rishon actually was denying Hashem completely. A min would be that he believes that there's two gods or something, Rahman al-Fan. He was saying he was a Kofa b'ikr altogether. Sivach, the same passage, Ovru Bris, it says like Odom, the Jewish people have transgressed the covenant. Uchtiv Asam, as Brisi Hefar, or rather, the Omru, the pasuk says that the Goyim will see when the Jewish people have been punished. Why did that happen? Alasha Ozu was Bris Hashem, because they abandoned the Bris of Hashem. So we see the word Bris. So we see that the word Bris refers to the covenant with Hashem, the most basic thing of that is to believe in Hashem, and we're saying that Ovru Bris, that Adam transgressed that and failed to believe in Hashem. So again, all of this can mean, as Rabbeinu Hananel says, that it's not that he actually did these things, but rather that the minim and the moshchim bar lasam will never use this as an excuse. But the meaning can also be that Odom's avera of the chateis adas contain with it all these kinds of things. By eating from the Eitz HaDas, when Hashem told him not to, then it amounts to denying Hashem and claiming as though there were other powers other than Hashem and things like that. Okay, so we'll continue on Matzoi Shabbos, Mr. Hashem.